coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Pussy got parachutes.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
We have a double-sided pussy.
What the fuck?
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome to a new episode of Huntsville Home Video that is going to be jam-packed with action and adventure and espionage and intrigue. Ooh. Probably some expletives, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
We like to curse.
We do.
My name is Jack Spade. With me, as always, is Leanne Foster. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm excited to see you because I haven't seen you in a week. And I didn't know how mad you were at me, but you seem to be in good spirits today, so I think we're good.
You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. Full disclosure, last week hurt a little bit.
It did.
When there are certain movies that I love so much that it physically hurts me when my friends don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I just got out of a very abusive relationship.
Oh, like, snap.
Yeah, like you just cheated on me.
Oh, shit. I shit in your heart.
You did. You pulled it out of my chest and just said, "Big Trouble in Little China." Threw it on the ground.
And stomped it with my shoe.
But I have moved on. I feel a little better.
Okay.
Much like I said in the podcast last week, the one you got to worry about, though, is Rachel.
Yeah, I know.
Because she listened to the podcast. And she was walking around the house. She was like cleaning up. She was doing dishes. She was putting stuff up in her Lego room.
Right.
And I was in my room just kind of twiddling away on social media or whatever. And she would poke her head in. She's like, "Really? Fucking sorcery. This bitch? Okay.
This bitch."
And then she leaves. And then like 10 minutes later, we'll come storming back in.
Oh, no.
She's not allowed to watch Vic anymore. I'm like, oh, she says that later in the podcast. Just wait.
We knew that was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen.
Oh, my God.
I love my wife. I know her habits.
Right.
And yeah. You got some making up to do there, my friend.
Oh, man. I'll work on it. I'll work on it.
All right.
Oh, man. I hate it. Well, yeah, I was actually legitimately worried because I hadn't seen you in a week. I hadn't heard any updates from your camp.
From my camp?
You know, because usually, like, during the week, we'll run into each other and be like, "Hey, my buddy was like, this bitch, blah, 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 blah," you know, or whatever thought was funny. And I heard radio silence for a week. And so I'm like, I'm going to get a barrage today, maybe.
Well,
let
me go back through some of these text messages.
Oh, no.
Then, since you brought it up,
because I was already on the fence with these people, and now I feel like I'm just like I'm off the face of the earth.
You need to get one of those balls of lightning from Spencer's. Sit across the room from Leanne and say, "Ooh, Sith lightning."
That's actually pretty damn funny.
Right?
That's really good. I really freaking love that. That's so funny.
Another one said, let me pull this back up here.
Oh, no.
"Whenever you're ready to pull the trigger on that new podcast host, holler at your boy."
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
And then subtle, but this one just says, "Where the fuck did you find her?"
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst one, right? Oh, gosh.
So, yeah.
If you
want to get in, if you really want to take all this in, check out last week's episode of our review
of
Big Trouble in Little China.
You know what? For me, don't. Just skip over that one. You don't need it in the anthology that we're making here. You don't need it.
All right. All right.
Oh, God.
Fair enough.
I've got to rewatch it again.
You do. But now if you come back and you're like, "You know, I've watched it with a new set of eyes," like, it's really great. I love it. I'm going to be suspect.
You're going to be sus.
Yeah, Leanne's going to be a little sus. Leanne is sus.
Mm. What if I watch it again and I still don't like it?
That's,
do you even want to hear about that?
No.
Maybe we should just never speak of it again.
That's a possibility.
Okay,
that is a possibility.
So now we decide probably never speak of it again.
But see, I know me, mm-hmm. and I know that eventually, when this whole pandemic bullshit is over,
right.
the two of us might be out in public at some point, and someone will say, like, oh, that big trouble in Little China, and I'm just going to snap my head and just glare at you.
Oh, God.
And get reminded of it.
You're going to take it to your deathbed.
Probably.
You know, you'll be like, whatever age, 90.
Oh, no, like, I'm not seeing 90.
You're not seeing 90?
No, 45, 46 tops.
Wow, we don't have much to go.
We got 5-6 years.
Oh, shit, we better make the best of them.
When I'm ready to, you know, just head on to the great beyond, I'll be laying
Are you
going to
pick your time and be like an animal and just wander out to the woods and we never see you again?
I think so, but what I'll do is I'll beckon my loved ones in to just say some final words.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'll say anything to you. I'll just hand you a copy of Big Trouble in Little China and then just turn my head away from you.
That's the word.
That's from the grave.
That's from the grave. I'll never forget that either. I'll take that to the grave with me.
Oh.
The ultimate shun.
Shit.
Damn. That's so funny.
So today.
So today's different.
It's a new day.
Tis new day.
The slate is clean. For those of you that maybe are just joining this podcast for the very first time
mm-hmm.
and have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Right.
Well, first off, go back and listen to some of our other episodes.
Except for the last episode.
Except for the last one. you can find us at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Huntsville Home Video, at HSV Home Video. What we do is we take one of the many hundreds of thousands of movies that I've seen over the course of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I introduce them to my friend Leanne, who has seen none of them.
I guarantee to all of you listening out there, this is no, what's the word I'm looking for? Exaggeration. There it was. This is no exaggeration.
You have seen very few movies.
I thought I loved movies, and then I met you, and then I went, oh, shit, bitch better be put back in her place.
I have some learning to do.
Right.
And that is that's kind of what this podcast is all about, mm-hmm. introducing you to new movies. I should say that I get a bit taken aback, flabbergasted.
I know.
Bamboozled, befuddled.
I know.
About some of the movies that you have never seen.
It's just who I am as a person.
I was absolutely dumbfounded to realize that you have never seen a single James Bond movie.
I hadn't. Not one of them, any of them, a part of them, nothing.
You know who James Bond is.
I know who James Bond is. I know he's 007. And I know trailers from TV.
You probably know the theme song.
Yes.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
Beautifully done.
Thank you.
Yes. That high budget orchestra we've got.
Yeah, that was my sitar. Sitar 007.
Yeah, no, I know that. And there's so many references that for James Bond and so much of pop culture that I know, but I've just never seen a movie.
Because James Bond is truly a cultural icon.
Right,
like
exactly.
Pop culture kind of all encompasses James Bond.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you've never seen a single one.
Nope.
Until this week.
Yeah.
we wanted to pay our respects to the late, great Sir Sean Connery. He passed away a couple weeks ago. By the time we found out he'd passed away, we had already recorded a couple podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we would have done this earlier. But we decided that we were finally going to introduce Leanne to the world of James Bond. And we went with what I think a lot of people think is the best James Bond movie, especially of the Connery series, and we are going to be talking about Goldfinger mm-hmm. today.
It's not the first.
It is not.
No, but it's considered the best.
I feel that not starting with the first is very on brand for you.
Right.
Because this is, after all, Leanne Foster, who started with the Marvel Cinematic Universe at Civil War. 23, 24 movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You started with movie 18.
Well, I got an invite to the theater, and I went.
I want to be one of the cool kids.
I want to go with the group.
So, yeah, I figured starting at James Bond movie number 3
okay.
wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
No.
And really, with the first two Bond movies, they're kind of feeling out the character of Giant. Yeah,
what he is and how he operates.
Yeah, you get. I mean, you get introduced to the organization of Spectre, which is kind of the evil organization that troubles a lot of the Sean Connery James Bond movies.
Okay,
you get introduced to. You really don't get a lot of like the gadgets and the James Bond theme songs and everything. Like, you don't get that until GoldenEye.
Oh.
So that's kind of where this starts.
Wait, which is GoldenEye?
Or I'm sorry, Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, okay.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Get your shit straight.
Easy, Foster. I'll snap back to Big Trouble in Little China real quick.
Oh, shit.
Goldfinger, I'm sorry.
Goldfinger. Is there a GoldenEye?
There is a golden eye.
Okay, all
right. That was 90s Pierce Brosnan. That was his first movie as Bond.
Okay.
That was golden eye to people of my age is probably one of their favorite Bond movies.
Okay.
It's the movie that they were of, you know, like a teenager when they got introduced to Bond. Plus, golden eye was an incredible video game for the N64. Where you could just like run around, shoot people.
Okay.
One of the best early like shooter video games that people still to this day, there are still GoldenEye tournaments that happen all over.
We should go to one.
We should have one.
We should have one.
I'm gonna get the golden gun and fuck y'all up.
I never had a Nintendo 64.
That doesn't surprise me.
Right, yeah. No.
Did you have any gaming consoles?
I had a Super Nintendo.
Hey. There was some good shit on
that. I had a PlayStation 2, bitches back up.
Hey, PlayStation 2 is the best gaming console of all time.
Right? Love it. Mm-hmm. Loved it. I had a Nintendo GameCube. I did love the GameCube, and I had an Xbox. Had Halo 2, not Halo 1.
Because again...
we start with the sequels, baby!
Yep. You are a bandwagon jumper. So GoldenEye is where we started. Let's just get right into it.
Goldfinger.
God damn it.
Oh, payback's a bitch. What is,
like, I might be having a stroke today. Is that toast?
Toast? Toast?
Goldfinger.
That's great. That
you like
good.
That?
I
yeah.
like that one. That makes up for everything that can happen in this episode. That's it.
The opening theme song always sticks with me.
It was so exciting. Oh, you're talking about the song. I'll go back to the Bond theme.
Okay.
That was so exciting to see in a movie, though.
Yeah?
Like, to have heard it everywhere and then to see it finally in a movie was really cool.
You know, I didn't even think about that because I'm so numb to it, like just right. so used to it. Mm-hmm. We expect it.
Yeah.
To experience that again for the first time. How right. was that?
Yeah, it was super cool. It was super cool to see the graphics and the shot, you know, all that stuff.
The little
again,
gun barrel intro.
Mm-hmm,
cuz
yeah.
you've seen that referenced
everywhere.
You've never actually seen it where it came from.
No, I'd never seen where it actually came from. So to be watching the movie and have it pop up. And then there's a couple things that happened throughout the movie that I had, again, had heard in pop culture, but then to hear him say it, I'm like, oh, he said it! Oh, he did it!
He said the words!
Right! Yeah, that was super cool to experience for literally the first time.
So not too long ago, in fact, just a couple episodes ago, we introduced a not good spy movie in Leonard Six. Did you pick up on a lot of the influence?
A lot of the influence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole time I watched this movie, again, and I knew this was referenced a lot, but I love Archer.
Yep.
And so to see it even more, like, okay, now I get, like, I knew it was all Bond, but now I get so much of it more now. Like, oh, yeah, that's definitely where they pulled that from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So it was cool to see it in the movie.
To see where it actually came from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To see the source of the inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah, the opening theme song, not the Bond theme, but because every movie has its own, and they now especially they make a very big deal out of it.
It's a big to do.
Yeah.
Didn't Billie Eilish just do this one or this
yeah,
last
Billie
one?
Eilish does this one. Chris Cornell did Casino Royale,
yeah.
Which is a great okay. Bond song.
Jack White did one with Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I mean so
like,
many.
Yeah, it's a big event.
Yeah, and that's a huge to do, especially like, you know, back in the day as they got bigger and bigger because uh-huh. Goldfinger. It's the only way I'm going to remember it now.
I want that ringtone. When I get a text, I just want Goldfinger.
So the first two Bond movies when they came out didn't really set the world on fire.
Okay.
I mean, because they were based on novels beforehand by Ian Fleming.
Oh.
So there's a whole series of James Bond novels. The first two movies came out. They did okay.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, they decided, we're going to focus on getting the American audience into this one. So that's why a lot of it is kind of like set in Miami.
Right.
You know, they go to Fort Knox in Kentucky. And they really went after the American market. They gave this one more of a budget. They gave it more pageantry. It really shows off. So, like, if you ever go back and watch the first two,
okay, you're
going to be like, holy shit. All right, yeah, they stepped it up in round three.
Gotcha.
And then that's where it kind of took off.
Okay.
The movie was a huge hit for a brief time. It was the biggest movie. It was the highest grossing blockbuster for a minute. And then that's where, again, all this stuff came from, the big pageantry of the theme songs and the intros. And like now they got bigger and bigger artists every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they got on wilder, wackier adventures. The stunts went more over the top. The mm-hmm. gadgets got cooler.
Yes.
And it all kind of derived from Goldfinger.
I will not get tired of that. I will not. I guarantee you it won't happen.
There's a band called Goldfinger.
Get the fuck out.
And I'm not necessarily a fan. I don't really listen to them. But mm-hmm. whenever they come up, mm-hmm. like if they come up in Shuffle or if they come up on satellite radio, I'm like, Goldfinger. Like still to this day, that's one of those things that just is so ingrained in my head is that opening theme song.
I love it.
That it comes out. Even when I rewatched the movie recently, again, just Goldfinger.
Shit. Oh God.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just no, go ahead.
No, I insist. I insist.
No, I interrupted. No, because you were onto something.
I was not.
I ain't gonna say shit.
All right. Dead air.
No.
Dead air. So let's just kind of get into discussing the merits
mm-hmm.
of Goldfinger.
Not GoldenEye.
Not GoldenEye.
First of all, I don't know if anybody can tell, but I really freaking loved the movie.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Awesome.
Just let's go ahead and get that part out of the way. I loved it 100%.
Very good.
I was like a kid watching it, I think, which was super cool. Yeah.
So interesting that you led with that analogy, because I think a lot of people, again, people like of my age
mm-hmm.
grew up with their, you know, with their parents watching Bond movies. I think that is something that it doesn't matter if you're a movie nerd or not, whether, you know, whatever you're into, you grew up watching Bond flicks.
Well, not everybody.
Well, not clearly.
There's always an outlier.
There's an asterisk, except Leanne Foster.
There's an asterisk in the history books.
But I've got friends who are in no way, shape, or form movie buffs.
Right.
They've clearly seen more movies than you. But, you know, a mutual friend of ours, we were actually talking about it the other day when I said that this is what we're going to review. And he's like, yeah, man, I grew up watching Bond movies with my dad. Sean Connery is my Bond.
Aww.
You know, I had other friends who came in at a different time. I watched Bond movies with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually more of a Dirty Harry fan.
Yeah.
So we watched a lot of Clint Eastwood together. But the Bond movies were there.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then, like I said, when GoldenEye came out, I was like of that perfect age to be kind of reintroduced to Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of kickstarted my love to go back,
right,
and you know review all these. But yeah, like I'm glad you dug this one.
Yay!
Are you going to go back and kind of watch some more?
Oh yeah, now I'm going into Bond movies.
Now you're
like,
in.
Now I want it. So I guess the best way is to watch them in chronological order. There's no Star Wars thing about it.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So the first two, like I say, you get the setup of a lot of characters. There are some villains who come back but are played by different actors.
Okay.
Like when you get introduced to Blofeld, he's one of my favorite Bond villains.
Okay.
And he's played by Halloween's Donald Pleasance. He's also played by Telly Savalas. He's also played by Max von Sydow, who is an amazing actor who passed away not too long ago.
Okay.
He was in, Max von Sydow was in The Force Awakens.
Uh-huh.
You've seen that, yeah?
Yeah.
You've seen all the
I've seen all the Star Wars.
Because you love sorcery.
Yes.
Yeah, set up.
We're supposed to move past.
We are, but I'm
it's okay.
I'm bitter and spiteful.
I understand.
But yeah, so a lot of different characters have played Blofeld. He is my favorite Bond villain. You also get introduced to some more amazing over the top henchmen like mm-hmm. Oddjob.
The names. that's perfect.
What was your reaction the first time? And I'm sure you've heard the name before.
Yeah.
But what was the first time you when Pussy Galore shows up?
I busted out laughing.
Right?
I busted. I lost it. I literally, I think I paused because I was like, oh, I'm going to miss something because I can't take it.
Had you heard that name before?
I had heard that, but I didn't realize it was the name of a character.
Yeah.
I didn't really know. I'm just like, what is this? And then I thought, for a while there, I thought it was like something to do with like a parody because I was like, obviously, this is not really in a Bond film. And then it hit me.
Have you been privy to any other Bond girl names?
No.
Like Holly Goodhead?
No, I didn't know.
Xena Onatopp?
No!
Yeah!
Get out!
That is another one.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't know those.
Oh yeah. So there's so many good double entendre names.
Oh man.
That, yeah, you're in for some treats.
Okay.
As you continue your Bond adventure.
Yeah.
So do you think, how much of your love of this movie came from Sean Connery?
Well, he helped, you know, because I love him and he's super, super handsome.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely a contributor. I guess because I really watched it and I was like, oh, I forgot he was that fucking handsome.
Right.
You know, like he was just perfect. But I would have loved the movies regardless. Like I really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one thing that I find interesting among some fans mm-hmm. is if they don't like the actor playing Bond, they can't get into the movies.
I understand that.
Yeah, I totally understand.
I could get that.
Yeah. I feel the same way with Doctor Who. Because that's some nerd shit right mm-hmm. there. But the Doctor Who, that's a show that's over 50 years old. And what they do in there is like the character of Doctor Who regenerates, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So like when an actor leaves the show,
right.
The character is still Doctor Who. He just regenerates into another
yeah.
actor, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get into the actor, it's like it's tough to get into the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sean Connery, this was one of his, Doctor No was the first James Bond movie. That was one of his early movies. Sean Connery, fascinating individual.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about him before acting?
No.
So he grew up a poor kid in Scotland
mm-hmm.
and joined the Navy very young, was okay. discharged for a health issue. I forget what the health issue was. I think ulcers, maybe?
Okay.
I think it was ulcers. He was got into bodybuilding. And he was he was third place Mr. Universe at one point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you Google Sean Connery Mr. Universe, that motherfucker was jacked. And Leanne goes right to the phone. Please pause.
Please pause while we Google.
Sploosh.
Sean Connery. Bodybuilding.
In addition to that.
What?
He was also.
The man is a statue.
Right?
Jesus Christ. Damn. What? Who knew?
I did.
Number 24. Woohoo. Okay. I had no idea.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, thank you for that little nugget of information.
Absolutely. You have fun with that later. So yeah, he was into bodybuilding. He like delivered milk. He did a little
okay,
bit of
that's
everything.
That's right. I do remember that. I heard that part.
So he, you know, he eventually got into acting. The role of James Bond, he did not initially crush the audition. He didn't initially be offered that role. Like several other actors were offered the part. Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, didn't even think that Sean Connery was right
mm-hmm.
for the character. If I remember correctly, Ian Fleming just wanted James Bond to be just like a run-of-the-mill boring fella, because he was, you know, he's like a spy. You got
to
fit in, right?
Right.
He modeled him after a bird watcher. that was named James Bond. That's where the character name came from.
Oh, my
If I'm
goodness.
Remembering that correctly.
Okay. We'll have our fact checkers in on the case.
Yeah. You can hit us up with your fact checks at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at HSV Home Video.
Right. HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome.
So Sean Connery also voted People's Sexiest Man in 1989 when he was like 55 years old.
Okay.
The dude has never been unattractive.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Just a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
Also, did you pick up on the fact that in GoldenEye, he was totally wearing a toupee?
Goldfinger!
God damn it, did I say GoldenEye again?
Yeah.
Jesus. What in the actual fuck is happening with my brain today?
I can't wait for your buddies to comment on this part. On your GoldenEye part.
See, loyalty is a crazy thing because they're going to be like, I can't believe that bitch gave you shit. I mean, you were clearly
really?
having an episode. You might have been having a stroke, and this chick is just giving you shit because you're saying GoldenEye instead of Goldfinger.
Man, I thought they would wait to bust your ass, but I guess not.
No.
You got better friends than I do.
That's true. That is really true.
It's true.
Yeah.
He was wearing a toupee?
Yeah. He started going bald in his early 20s, and for the first two Bond movies, they kind of mussed his hair a little bit, did makeup, but by the third Bond movie rolled around, yeah, he was like straight up rocking a hairpiece.
I didn't catch it at all.
Yeah.
No.
They had good toupee technology back then.
I was about to say, yeah. I think they did a pretty good job, because I didn't catch it at all.
Yeah.
Even went tussling around in the hay.
He was like, don't even give a shit.
Right.
Still would. And here's what's great about who Sean Connery was as a person. You figure actors are very vain people, right? Mm-hmm. They're always looking after their appearance. Sean Connery didn't give a shit.
Right.
You know, he's just like, whatever. Also, one great thing that I personally associate with Sean Connery and that I empathize with, Sean Connery and I, hairy sons of bitches. We are fuzzy fucks. And I love that Sean Connery just walked around like half this movie in like short shorts, no shirt, just rocking some manly chest hair.
First of all, I wrote down in my notes, why can't men be like that anymore?
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
I love a hairy chest.
Oh, shit.
I'm all in for it, man. That's testosterone. That's good shit.
That's good shit. Testosterone, I get. God damn.
Anyway, again, personal preference.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, God.
Rachel, my wife, clearly all about the fuzzy fuckers, too, because, like, Jesus Christ, like, me and Sean Connery, like, fuzz brothers.
Whatever you can do to compare yourself to Sean Connery,
that's
you're
it.
Do, right?
From the neck down, twinsies. Neck up, I am his twin brother that was mangled in an accident.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we are now about like 28 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even really gotten into the movie other than the fact that you love it.
No, we just gushed about Sean Connery.
I mean, that's kind of what we wanted to do today.
Right. You just gushed over Sean Connery almost as much as you did Gary Oldman. This wasn't as intense as Gary Oldman, but we spent a good amount of time here.
Well, let me explain the love for Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Connery is a fucking dude's dude.
Yeah.
Like I think the word icon gets thrown around far too often.
Mm-hmm.
But in the realm of actors and entertainers, Sean Connery is a fucking icon.
Yeah.
Even when he just like, he's like, I'm retired now, and like did nothing. He wasn't in the public eye for the last like 15 years, really.
Right.
And was still like, whenever he popped up, oh, yeah, Sean Connery's doing this thing. Sean Connery's a fucking man. Like, dudes love him. Ladies want to be with him.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't met a single person that has ever said, man, fuck Sean Connery.
Right.
I was really worried that if you did that today, but the double-edged sword of Big Trouble and then Sean Connery hate, that would have ended the podcast.
No. I knew we wouldn't have to worry about that.
That's good.
I knew we were okay.
And I mean, when you think about even when the dude had a movie that was a bomb,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I mean, it's still fucking Sean Connery.
Right.
Sean Connery was in Highlander. Have you ever seen Highlander? I'm guessing not.
No, but I feel like a lot of people shit on that movie, don't they?
The series eventually gets shit on. Like, the first Highlander is an enjoyable movie.
Okay.
Queen actually did the soundtrack, fun fact for you. A lot of people don't really think, oh, Queen, they're such a great band, they wouldn't contribute themselves to a movie like Highlander. The fuck they didn't. Freddie Mercury loved himself some Highlander.
Right.
Clancy Brown, who's a great character actor, does a lot of voiceover work. He's the Kurgan. He's the kind of the villain of the piece.
Okay.
We're gonna have to watch Highlander at some
point. Put that on the list.
I'm putting it on the list right now. But here's what's great about Sean Connery, all right? He plays a character. Are you ready for this?
I don't
think you're ready for this. He is an Egyptian immortal who has spent time in Japan and lives in Spain. His name is Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez.
I mean, I love it.
And he still just, fuck it, I'm Sean Connery, talks with a Scottish accent.
Yes!
Because fuck you, I'm Sean Connery. Yeah.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Only Sean Connery could get away with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only Sean Connery could be Indiana Jones' dad.
Right.
You've seen that movie, yeah?
No, not that one.
What?
No.
Oh. I think my stroke is coming
right,
back.
Right, and that's
again.
Weird because I love Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the indie
the
movies?
The first one.
Just Raiders?
Raiders of the Lost, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I went to continue that, and then I never did.
So here's an unpopular opinion side note.
Okay.
Temple of Doom, which is kind of not a popular one amongst indie fans, is my favorite indie flick. I love Temple of Doom.
Which one is that?
That's essentially the second one.
The second one?
Yeah.
Okay.
They only made three. You might be of the opinion that there was a fourth one. Some people call it Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That was with Shia LaBeouf.
Doesn't exist.
Movie
never happened.
Okay, that's one of those. Mm-hmm. It's just, I heard that one was terrible.
I couldn't tell you because they never made it.
Okay.
Last Crusade
was... It's like Shazam.
Kazam?
Kazam. That's it. Damn it.
But yeah, Sean Connery, just an icon in the world of acting. Like, it's a cliche thing to say, you know, they don't make them like that anymore. They legitimately
don't.
Do not make Sean Connery's anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I want to throw this out before it becomes like super popular to remember him after his eventual passing. Jack Nicholson, also fucking icon.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I miss Jack. I know he probably doesn't have a lot of years left, and that makes me sad.
Right.
Just
oh,
like,
wow.
I mean,
this,
just like,
this went to a bummer real fast.
I know, right? Let's pick it up.
Shit.
So yeah, Sean Connery, he personified Bond for, I think, like 6 movies.
Okay.
And eventually he got very quickly, as a matter of fact, he got tired of the role of James Bond. And he was like, after he was done, he's like, I'm never playing James Bond again.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He did play James Bond again.
Are you going with this where I think you're going?
Where am I going with it?
Are you going to The Rock?
No.
No. Okay, that was a theory we discussed.
So technically, theoretically, he maybe played James Bond twice.
Okay.
He actually, so the next movie in the series is Thunderball. That's the movie that that happens after Goldfinger.
God damn it.
There was some rights issues with Ian Fleming. He started writing a concept for a James Bond movie that was Thunderball. It became a book. It's all muddled, and it went to court, and I forget everything.
Ian Fleming was the author.
Correct.
Okay,
he created
it.
James Bond.
Right. He wanted him to be a bird watcher.
Yep.
Right.
And there was some issues there. Thunderball ended up getting made into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, again, some legal issues. And then years later, one of the collaborators with Ian Fleming won the rights to essentially make the movie that was Thunderball with it, like, a different studio. They could still use the characters and everything, the character of James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Connery at, like, I think 50 something years of age,
mm-hmm.
came back to play like an older James Bond in Never Say Never Again.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is basically a remake of Thunderball.
Okay.
They make the movie twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's something to look forward to when you're bonding.
Ooh, Oh, God. I loved it and hated it all at the same time.
Yeah.
You simp.
Shit.
Okay. We have to work that in at least once every podcast.
You want the word rule. Simp in every
simp
in every
needs
podcast?
To be in everyone.
Man, I like the word simp does not go in the same sentence comparing it to Sean Connery.
No,
is not a simp.
Not at all.
In any way, shape, or form.
If you say he's simp, I say you're sus.
He's really picking
Anyways,
up on that.
Moving along.
You are picking up on that sus this week. I like it. So let's talk a little bit about the movie of Goldfinger.
Damn it.
We start out. So again, keep in mind that if you're listening to this podcast and you've seen this movie dozens of times over.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even necessarily think about it anymore. You put it on as background noise. This week was the very first time that a 30-year-old Leanne Foster saw this movie.
I know.
The very first thing that you get to see when the movie starts is just Sean Connery showing up.
As a fucking decoy duck.
As a decoy duck.
I was shocked, I will say.
All right.
Because I was like, what is this in the water? And when he pokes up, I'm like, this isn't as regal as I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? I was like, what is this? And then I had to, and then it quickly goes great. But yeah, I was shocked that he was a decoy duck.
Wait just a fucking minute.
I was like, what? Yeah, so that was pretty funny.
Did you think that for a moment he might be making a getaway on an ostrich?
Right, I did, yeah. I was like, is this a mind-controlled duck? What is this?
I swear to God, if he says Quellish in that Scottish accent.
Turning it off, yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I saw Bond legitimately in the movie.
Shows up with a fake duck on his head.
Yeah, fake duck, which
go ahead.
No, he quickly removes and all is better then, you know, and his gadgets start coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes to blow up a drug factory.
Goes to blow up a jug for, was heroin tasting bananas or whatever it was. So heroin flavored bananas. So and he goes and he finds the secret passage. He blows up the heroin place and he takes his wetsuit off.
Yes.
First of all, he's got a wetsuit on with nice shoes and he takes his wetsuit off and there's his iconic white tux,
just perfectly pressed smoking jacket.
Where was his flower? And he puts it in his thing pocket and he's ready to go,
smooth as
AF.
Fuck.
Yes walks in and the bomb goes off and he never even flinches.
Cool guys don't look at explosions.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So that explodes. He meets up with, is that Felix at the bar?
That is Felix.
That's Felix at the bar.
Yep.
And then then that's when they do Goldfinger, the song Goldfinger.
Yep.
Goldfinger. Then we go to Miami Beach, and that's where we see a hairy Sean Connery.
Just buzzed up.
Buzzed up. Mm. And really, there were parts of this movie that made me laugh that maybe other women wouldn't laugh at, but I don't give a shit. You know, he was the guy walks up. Who's the guy that walks up first? That's not Felix. That's somebody else, right? The owner of the hotel. What are we doing? The
guy
walks up because he's going to tell him to watch Goldfinger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's Felix.
That's Felix. Okay.
Yeah.
So Felix walks up and he's like, I imagine you'd be in good hands. He's getting his massage. And he orders the woman to go away. He's like, this is man talk. And he slaps her on the ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
I love how he sets it up, too. He's like, oh, Felix, this is so-and-so. So-and-so, this is Felix. Say goodbye to Felix.
Yes.
Smack.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, okay.
A lot of misogyny in the James Bond movies.
You know, but I'm like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, it's kind of worth it.
Yeah,
it's kind of worth it. Also, I just realized we skipped a part where he fights with the, after the explosion, he goes after the lady.
Oh,
can
yeah,
we back
the
up
little
a little
dancer
bit?
Or whatever.
I need to back up a little bit. Maybe we just rearrange this podcast. We start anew. He has important business to attend to before he leaves the drug lair that he's just blown up, right? And he's kissing the girl, and the guy, the henchman, comes in, and he sees
yeah.
the reflection in the eye, and he just swings her around like, no, you hit this bitch first. Yeah. Like, he uses her as a human shield, and it was fucking hilarious. I lost it. Again, I probably shouldn't have, but I thought it was hilarious.
I mean, sadly, you can't do that these days.
You can't do that.
Like,
no.
You're not going to see that in the next James Bond movie.
No, you are not. No.
And then I love, too, you know, because we really get introduced to just the dry wit of James Bond. Like, throws the henchman in the tub, throws a fan in there.
Right.
And he electrocutes him. Shocking.
Shocking.
just deadpan.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
when we go to Miami. Sorry, sorry everybody.
We're in Miami, bitch.
With Goldfinger. God. Oh. Anyway.
And now we get introduced to your first Bond villain, Ulrich Goldfinger. What did you think of this dude?
I thought he was played great.
I mean, he looks like a dude that would be obsessed with gold.
Yes, he does.
Doesn't he?
Just a shitty dude obsessed with what he's obsessed with.
And apparently, the actor didn't speak English. Everything that you hear is dubbed.
I thought there was some parts that didn't look correct.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
He was straight up dubbed.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, how did they act with him? Well, I guess they know their line, so it doesn't matter, but whoa.
Yep. Little fun fact for you.
How exciting is that? Okay.
We get introduced to Goldfinger as he's trying to cheat at a game of a high-stakes gin. He's got his little floozy up in the hotel room with some binoculars.
Right.
Looking at the dude's cards. He's got an earpiece in.
How does the other guy not see the earpiece and be suspect?
Right.
I mean, it's blatant. It's not like these little earpieces that fit down. It's like a legit machine on this guy's ear. And it goes to a thing on the table and nobody questions it.
Everything about 60s technology was massive.
Right, exactly. Yeah. he's got this woman who's paid to look through binoculars and tell him what the other guy's got in his hand so that he can win. So Bond messes that up. He just grabs that, again, he grabs that maid and he just takes her hand over and unlocks the door. And she's like, it's Goldfinger's room. He's like, I know.
I'm
that's where I wanted to go.
I'm James Bond, honey.
And then smooth AF yet again disarms her. Disarms the lady, you know, watching and tells him he needs to lose by about $15,000. And he puts an end to that.
I should say, too, he disarms her with charm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
There's no resistance there.
Again, just to add to the legend of Sean Connery, I think that every dude at some point thought falsely that they could pull that kind of charm off and tried and got shot down miserably. Mm-hmm. Like, it always worked for Sean Connery. Well, gentlemen, we are not Sean Connery.
Right.
Let me tell you, fellas. Not happening.
Oh, because he gets the girl. Her name's Jill.
Yep.
And he's like, he's going to take her to dinner. He knows the best place in town. And then they end up in his hotel room. That's the
best
place for dinner.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they do. So he's in there with Jill. And he goes to get some more Dom Perignon 53. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
And he ends up getting knocked out by, all we see is a shadow. It's of somebody wearing a top hat.
Gets karate chopped,
gets knocked out. He eventually wakes up, and Jill is dead on the bed, and she's painted in gold paint.
Very iconic imagery from James Bond. Like, that's that. Right. Like, when you think of James Bond imagery, if you put pictures from all the James Bond movies, that would be one of the most iconic shots.
Right, yeah. Gotcha. I didn't know if it was real gold or not. I was very confused. But apparently she died. I didn't know this was a thing.
Skin asphyxiation?
Your skin can suffocate?
I don't think. Like, I think they did that on a Mythbusters one time where they proved that that doesn't happen.
Okay, because he was like, if they'd have left a small spot at the end of her spine, she'd have been fine. But no, they painted her whole body. I'm like, her whole body?
I don't think the rules of physics or
anything
apply to any James Bond.
Not that they need to. No. But literally I heard that and I went, oh shit. And then I'm thinking, what if you put on too much lotion? Can you say, like a stupid dumbass, I'm like, oh my God, my skin's going to asphyxiate.
I'm going to die, but damn it, I'll be smooth.
Right. Oh, goodness. So, mysterious shadow knocks him out, blah, blah, blah.
Side note, if you go back and watch the movie again, watch the look on Sean Connery's face when he gets karate chopped.
Okay.
It's not just really good acting. Apparently, that actor really hit him kind of hard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So we move along, and I believe this is where they finally tell him, they tell Bond, we need you to watch Goldfinger. He's smuggling gold. We believe he's smuggling gold, and we're not sure if he's a jeweler, but he might be smuggling illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to figure out how he's doing it.
We then get introduced to a iconic character in the James Bond lore of Q.
Q, the gadget guy.
Yes.
Yes.
And that actor that plays Q goes on to play Q for like fucking ever.
Really? I wondered if he went with each, if he was only with one Bond or if he went with every Bond.
He, that actor, I think he passed away in like 99.
Okay.
But he played Q up until literally a month before his death.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And he is like the dynamic between Q and Bond as the movies go on is so fucking money.
Okay.
It is so good. Like even you got a little taste of it here when he's like introducing him to all his gadgets. Mm-hmm. And again, this is really the movie where he starts getting introduced, you know, to all the fun toys.
Yeah.
We get one of the most amazing drooled over cars in all of cinema history, the Aston Martin.
Mm-hmm. Does he stay with that throughout the films or do they change cars?
There's a bunch of different cars
as
time goes on. Eventually they do end up with an Aston Martin as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, someone recently made, I think it was the company that makes Aston Martins. I think they made a limited edition James Bond Aston Martin with like all the different bells and whistles, like the license plate flips and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah. I'm sure it was only like $3 million for the car. So, I mean, chump change.
We were out of that market, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
We were not their target audience.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day when I got into radio, I decided, you know, I could either have an actual career, make real money, maybe afford a $3 million Aston Martin, or I can tell, you know, dick and fart jokes to random people that years later probably don't even listen to terrestrial radio anymore.
Right. That's why we had to start a podcast.
I really just squashed our hopes and dreams.
Look, I have a really good college degree that I don't fucking use. It's in a frame and it looks nice and it's in a closet because I'm like, I should have used that shit. like now it's been too long. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
And now here I am talking about Sean Connery.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So back to
Goldfinger.
I love that extra flair. So he's showing him all the gadgets. And there's also there's an oil slick. There's oil slick.
Oil
there's
slick, smoke screens.
Ejector seats.
Bulletproof windshields.
Bullet actual machine guns that come out. Like, it's legit. So they decide that Bond needs to meet Goldfinger, like, in person. Not, you know, not as an agent, but just as a regular person. And they meet at the golf course.
Needs to do some spy shit.
Do some spy shit. Do some, you know, scoping out the situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The situation, Jesus. The situation.
Situation, yep. So they're playing. I love them playing golf. And I love, you know, they put money on it because he, obviously, Goldfinger likes to put money on things and likes to gamble and stuff. And Sean Connery, of course, or 007, is great at golf. Not so much for Goldfinger. And so he gets in the rough, and then he ends up swapping out the golf balls to use later on. And I love the caddy. The caddy was great. Was that somebody we knew? That wasn't anybody we knew except the caddy.
Yeah.
He was great because he was onto it. He knew what 007 was going to do. And he finally, Goldfinger wins the game. But Sean Connery puts in the wrong ball because Goldfinger only plays a certain type of golf ball.
Yep.
So he
calls him out on the swapped out golf ball.
Swapped out golf ball, which means that Sean Connery wins the game.
Yep.
Technically.
Give me my money, bitch.
So that happens. And he ends up, is this where he puts a tracker in his car?
Puts the tracker in the car. Yeah. Again, one of the new toys that Q hooked him up with.
Yeah. Little honing beacon. Mm-hmm. Puts the tracker in the car. And then that's where you, is it, no, we met him before, but this is when you in this kind of scene, you meet Odd Job.
Yeah, he was actually Goldfinger's caddy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But now we know that's the guy that karate chopped James Bond, and he's a mute, so he doesn't say anything. He can yell, but that's it.
Has a very impressive, just like, I'm going to fuck you up stare.
Absolutely. And an impressive, I'm going to fuck you up hat.
Yeah.
Another great thing, top hat that he throws like a frisbee, and it knocks people out. It knocked the head off the statue. It's very lethal, ladies and gentlemen.
Very lethal. In fact, he uses that hat later on,
yeah,
to kill Jill's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up,
yeah,
wanting revenge.
Right, because they follow them to Geneva, and Jill's sister is a supposed sniper, but she doesn't do very well.
Yeah, not a great sniper.
not a
broad
great
daylight
sniper.
From not even that far.
Right, and yeah. Sean Connery's like, you're shooting at me, and she was like, no, I wasn't. I was like, well, you dumb bitch. Like,
I would know.
Yeah, her name was Tilly, wasn't it?
Tilly. Tilly, yep.
Tilly. So that whole thing happens with them. And so she dies while they were scoping out the place.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we get a cool chase scene. Mm-hmm. We get to show off some of the features in field of the Aston Martin.
Yeah, he does the smoke screen while they're chasing after him, does the oil slick. I thought it was a really cool car chase, especially for the time. Like, it was like all these alleyways in the big building.
Yep.
And like cars going crossways and stuff. It was really cool.
I always like in movies of that era how when they need to show speed, mm-hmm, they just speed up the film of the camera.
Yeah,
they don't actually like increase the speed. The Aston Martin was probably going 5 miles an hour,
right?
But they just hit the fast yeah, forward button.
You can definitely tell it. There's one where there's one part, maybe it was Tilly in the earlier scene where she crashes and like her head moves so fast, like, you know, that's just speeding up and then it cuts back to regular time.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's,
yeah,
like, what happened there? So yeah, that's the trickery of the day.
So in that ensuing car chase, mm-hmm, we get James Bond that crashes.
He does because of the mirror.
Yep.
He sees a car coming towards him and he swerves to miss and runs into the wall. And you find out it's a mirror, which is done in such a way. It's just Odd Job staring in the mirror like, that fucking worked.
Yeah, fucking got him.
I told you that would pay off one day. Like, that's how the look felt.
And then we get James Bond. He wakes up, mm-hmm, strapped to a table of gold.
I didn't know that was in a Bond movie. I saw that in Archer. Didn't know it was in Bond.
Again.
Had no idea.
How, yeah. Like, how geeked out did you get?
I was like, oh my gosh, there it is. Like, everything that I saw that I had seen reference, I'm like, oh my God, there it is. So he's strapped down to the table, I think it is, of gold. And there's this laser that's literally coming up to just, he's going to annihilate him. It cuts through metal.
Yep.
And he's going to just
laser him in half. Mm-hmm.
So while he was scoping out the place before he got into his wreck, he heard about Operation Grand Slam.
Yep.
So he's got that little nugget of information. We don't know what it is yet, but we know that's a thing. So he's trying to talk to Goldfinger. Don't. He's like, well, you know, if I die, 008 is going to come replace me. And they know all about Operation Grand Slam. And Goldfinger, right before it gets to the old goods, he shuts off the laser and he goes, you know what? You are worth more to me alive than dead. So he gets to live another day.
He gets to live another day, gets to live a life of luxury,
yeah,
on the Goldfinger Ranch.
But before that,
oh yes,
he gets darted, right? And he wakes up on a plane. And he meets old Pussy Galore.
Pussy Galore.
Where I almost lost my shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
I'm Pussy Galore. I must be dreaming.
I cannot. And she's the pilot. We have Pilot Pussy. I can't take it.
Pilot Pussy.
Right? So there. I can't take it. So,
pussy galore.
Oh, and then there was another thing I got excited about when he ordered the martini, shaken, not stirred. I knew that was a Bond thing, and then I finally heard it. That
nice.
Was super cool.
Very nice. Yeah.
So they're on their way to the States. They're on their way to Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
to a ranch in Kentucky, which, by the way, Kentucky is a beautiful state.
I have not spent a lot of time there.
My family's from Kentucky, and it's just a gorgeous state. It's just horses and flat, beautiful fields. Just throwing that out there. Anybody listening in Kentucky, I think your state's beautiful.
If the Kentucky Tourism Board would like a sponsorship on
right.
Huntsville Home Video, we will get motherfuckers to your
yeah.
state.
Yeah, that's right. So he lands, and you see a banner.
Yes.
For Pussy Galore's Flying Circus.
I have a note
in Kentucky.
That I have a note on that. Like, there has got to be a band called Pussy Galore's Flying Circus. And if not, there's about to be.
Yeah.
We're just gonna do covers of Goldfinger.
It should be a bluegrass band since it's in
yes.
Kentucky.
A Kentucky bluegrass band called Pussy Galore's Flying Circus.
Yeah!
Jesus Christ. We are going to make so much fucking money.
I'm so glad we're in a better place this podcast. yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. So they take him off the plane and they put him in a cell and they yep. lock him up in his pretty suit. His pretty body and pretty suit.
Pretty body, pretty suit.
Meanwhile, we cut to Felix and I don't remember the other guy's name, but they are in Kentucky outside Kentucky Fried Chicken just because the Honing Beacon has gone to Kentucky and they're just waiting out in case he needs any assistance.
Yep.
Yeah, in case they need to be called.
Good backup.
Good backup, man. Yeah. Good buddies to have as backup. So then we go to, I believe we go to this business meeting.
Yep. We get some mafioso.
Mm-hmm. So there's this big business meeting that Goldfinger is holding and there's all these big guys, important people, and they want their $1 million. But Goldfinger's like, I can turn that into 10 million, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
10 times that. And all of a sudden, do you not want that fucking pool table? Do you not want that whole freaking Kentucky ranch anyway? But do you not want that damn pool table?
I love, so these are my notes on this. I love, basically what happens is he's got a pool table. He flips a couple switches.
Yeah.
And the whole room just starts to morph and shift. And his grand plan is starting to reveal.
Uh-huh.
I just thought about Goldfinger having to hire someone to make those little models that went on the bottom of that fucking pool table.
Yeah.
Like some henchman just sitting there painting a fake Fort Knox,
right?
Gluing it, probably getting frustrated because the paints weren't prime, the models weren't primed properly. He was like,
I didn't even think of that.
That's where my head went. Like nowadays, if you had that, it would all be a hologram,
right? Exactly.
And but you know, back in the '60s, everything was like
you needed it to scale in yeah. an actual form.
And before that plan was enacted, that shit was just sitting there, like in his lair.
For his big reveal.
Yeah.
Not out anywhere.
In his daily henchman meeting, Goldfinger was like, where are we at with the model of Fort Knox?
Where are we at with the movable floor so that I can make a model to put it in there to rise above?
God damn it, Simmons. I am revealing my master plan tomorrow at 9.
I can't just move a curtain. I need it to come out of the floor.
You son of a bitch. Probably shot a couple henchmen over that.
Right.
Yeah. Old Simmons just thought he was getting into a simple model, you know, a model making job. Fucking got murked
all
for that shit.
We gotta be engineers here. Make yeah. shit work. Got hydraulics and shit.
But a great reveal.
Such a great reveal. Because the pool table, like you said, the pool table turns, the floor moves, everything just gets all out of whack. And basically, that's when we get the big plan. Meanwhile, Bond has gotten out of his cell.
Yep.
I love how he does it. He fakes like he's on a fucking elevator to the guard in the bar so that he just kind of goes down and he doesn't come back up. And the guard inspects it. And he takes over the guard. So conveniently, I love how this happens. I love the logic of these movies about how they conveniently get in on the right parts that they need. Like, he conveniently heard the, you know, Operation Grand Slam. Then he conveniently hears it being explained, you know?
Yep.
So he's like in Fort Knox. He comes up under the model and he's like in Fort Knox, like listening. And basically what he's going to do is he's going to is this where we reveal everything, right?
Well,
we kind of get parts of it and then we don't get parts of it.
We get the fake plan.
Right. We get the fake plan. So we get the fake plan of there's this gas called, what was it? Something nine.
I don't even remember.
So we get this. This gas is a nerve gas.
Delta 9.
So it's supposed to knock people out for 24 hours.
And then they're going to swoop into Fort Knox mm-hmm. and steal all the gold.
That's the plan. That's the fake plan.
Because mm-hmm.
we'll go on to find out there's more to it. So I think the guys are kind of confused. And that Solo guy's like, no, I want out of this. I just want my $1 million now. So he lets Solo leave, then the room completely closes in, and he sprays the gas into the room, and it knocks everybody out.
Yep.
We think it just knocks them out.
No.
But we'll learn later.
It does not.
It do more than he say it do.
And homeboy that left, I think I would have taken the gas compared to what he got as a fate.
Right.
I mean, homeboy gets crushed.
Oh, yeah. So 007 puts, because he's out of the cell. And he puts the honing beacon into Solo's pocket. Solo gets into a car, gets his gold in the car, and he thinks he's home free because Oddball's driving him to the airport. He doesn't make
Oddball.
It to the airport. Odd job.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to do it. This whole time I was like, don't say Oddball. It's odd job. And I knew I was going to say it.
Oddball.
Golden eye.
Fuck you.
So, odd job takes him to like a scrap metal yard and the car gets crushed with him in it.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they showed it too. It's
right.
Is that also not he gets shot first, but is that also not just a terrible nightmare?
Oh.
Oh, it was so terrible.
Couldn't imagine.
Crunches this car. But then they let. This is what really pissed me off. This is the one thing that pissed me off in the movie.
Okay.
He shoots Solo. Odd job gets out and then crushes the car instead of taking the gold out of the car. First, why didn't they just put fake gold in there anyway and avoid the problem? You know, because it's like, I know you have to put on a facade and think the guy think he's okay. But then he left the gold in there and crushed the car, took the crushed car back so that they could pick the gold out of it.
Yeah,
they should have just killed him then anyway with the other guys, but it helps to serve the story of the honing beacon getting and Felix and them following it, you know. But that was the one thing that pissed me off. I'm like, why didn't you take the gold out? I accepted everything else in the movie, why didn't you take the gold out?
Of all the improbabilities in this movie, that's the one.
That's the one that just pissed me off, and I don't know why.
God damn you, odd job, son of a bitch.
So anyway.
Anywho.
So the car's crushed. They take it back. The beacon doesn't work anymore. So it quits working, and Felix and the other guy decide, well, we'll go back to the farm and we'll look out and see what we can see. Maybe 007 needs our help. So they're scoping things out. They, of course, get seen because they're just at a fence with binoculars, even though they're supposed to be these big spies.
Blending in exceptionally well.
Right.
They should have put some fake ducks on their head.
I know. That would have been worse. Yeah. Or horse costumes.
Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Right? Kind of galloping out.
Yes.
So they decide, since they know they're watching, they go, well, we'll use 007 to our advantage. And they let him out of the cell and make it look like he's just fine. You know, he's hanging out with PG, Pussy Galore, and hanging out, having mint juleps. So everything looks fine. So Felix and the other guy are like, nah, everything's fine. We'll go back to base. The Kentucky Fried Chicken or wherever it was. So this is where I believe where we figure out the real plan.
Yeah, Bond starts to figure out that you're going to spend about 4 days taking all that fucking gold out of there. You're up to something else.
Right. There's no way that he has the time to do that because the military would be there in no time. So you find out that the real plan is the Delta 9 gas is actually lethal. So his plan is still to spray it. with Pussy Galore's Flying Circus. And then what he's going to do, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this at all.
All right.
This is what I got excited about. He decides to, they're going to bomb Fort Knox.
They're going to drop a dirty bomb in there.
Terrible bomb. They're not going to take any of the gold out because the gold after the bomb will be radioactive for like 58 years.
Yeah.
So that means the West is in complete chaos. The prices of gold, then his price of gold or his gold value goes straight up 10 times what it's valued at now.
Because money.
Because hashtag money.
As far as, and you're going to learn this as you start to go watch other James Bond movies, some of the villains' plans are so just ridiculously over the top.
Right.
Some of them are just downright stupid.
Okay.
This one, as far as James Bond villain plots go, not bad.
I love it.
I thought it was a great, great plot.
I wrote, holy cow, has anyone tried this? Like a stupid ass.
let's get with the Kentucky Tourism Board. Hey, how many people have tried to dirty bomb Fort Knox?
Right. Did you know you could be bombed and your gold would be radioactive? Did you know that was a thing that could happen?
Yes, Miss Foster, we've seen Goldfinger.
More times than you.
One of the shittiest Bond plot villain plots is it's in one of the Brosnan Bonds. There's a media mogul, and he's trying to engineer a war between two countries so that he basically has exclusive broadcasting rights to the war footage because money.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And like you hear that and you're like, that's fucking stupid. But then you think about like 2020 and you're like, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. Yeah. It truly is not. That's not as shocking nowadays as that would have been when the movie was made.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, as far as just sheer megalomaniacal plots go, Goldfinger's is one of my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they start and they're like, you know, you're going to be close to the bomb, which means you're going to be blown up in all of this. That's what's going to happen to you, 007. So we get to the plan being executed. The plan is going. We get the Flying Circus.
Pussy Galore's Flying Circus. I don't know where I'm going with that. We are... No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Nothing.
You were trying the bluegrass band.
I was trying to get some banjo going.
We can work on it.
I'm going to put pen to paper. I'm going to come up with Pussy Galore's Flying Circus first track by next week.
Can we... Oh, my God. I'm so ready. Are we singing? Who's singing? Are we singing? We can't play instruments.
We're a two-piece.
We also can't sing at all. So
I don't know.
What are we doing here?
I don't know if you've heard me belting out the Goldfinger song this whole episode.
I haven't heard it. Have you been doing that?
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
I can fucking sing like a champ.
What does it sound like?
Goldfinger.
Oh, shit. Look at that half a long working for you.
I know, right? Just imagine if I had two.
Holy fucking shit.
Mm-mm-mm.
Woo, damn.
Telling me I can't sing. Woman, mind your fucking business.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes
a woman needs to know her place.
Look here, Foster. I'm going to take Pussy Galore's Flying Circus all the way to a fucking Grammy. An Emmy, an Oscar, and a Tony. I'm going to get an EGOT.
EGOT.
Yeah. I cannot wait to hear best movie in a motion picture, Pussy Galore's Flying Circus.
I can't.
And when we go up to accept that Academy Award, I'm just going to look you right in the eye and be like, I fucking told you I'd get us here.
No, 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 no. Oh, my God, that's so great. Oh, I look so forward to the future.
Man, it's going to be a good time.
So... back to...
So we are in the vault. James Bond is strapped to the bomb.
Yeah,
he's handcuffed to the bomb.
But first of all, everybody's knocked out from the gas.
Yep.
supposedly. Everybody's knocked out. We've had the gas. And, oh my gosh, how dramatic was it when they all fell at the same time? Yeah. How, I laughed so hard at that. Like, they're flying over. First of all, how do you just fly over Fort Knox in a plane? Like, you know, that again.
I mean, in the 60s, it wasn't as, you know, they got gates.
They got,
they're thinking, we're not going to get attacked by air.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when they fly over, just groups of the army, just everybody just falls in the most dramatic.
Just collapses.
It was great how they synchronized. I mean, it was all synchronized. Like, it was all everybody at one time.
Yep.
You know? So yeah, they blow the gate, they get to there, they have the laser comes out, it cuts open the door, they get into the vault. And 007 is latched on to the bomb and it's counting down. That infamous countdown, right?
Uh-huh.
So, which if there's a countdown, I get super nervous. Like, it's not affecting me. I know he's going to make it. I don't know how he's going to make it, but I know he's going to. I get so nervous. I can't take it.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you time the timers?
I used to, and it never works out. So then I have to try to stop. But I do. So I'm like, no, that's not that many seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and then I still do.
There was 14 seconds left on that bomb 2 minutes ago.
Right, exactly.
What's going on here?
We'd been at 3.5 minutes a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's counting away, and then all of a sudden, everybody who had fallen victim to the gas now rises. Because guess what? There was no real gas that was sprayed. It was all a ruse.
Plot twist.
Oh my gosh. We have a double-sided pussy.
What the fuck? Oh shit. I wasn't ready.
Because she's working for the real.
We have a double-sided pussy. That pussy has two faces.
Double-crossing pussy.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. So, anyways.
We got good pussy. We got bad pussy. This is now good pussy.
Oh, God.
That's some good pussy.
We got there.
We made it.
We made it.
let's stand up here.
We made it to the mountaintop. Oh, shit. God damn.
Damn it, my friend. That one caught me sideways.
Can we just end it now? Are we done?
I mean, where do you go from there?
I don't know. We can only go back down.
Oh my goodness. Well played, Foster. Well played.
Thank you. So,
tell me you wrote that one down in your notes.
I did it. That came out.
That was off the top of the dome.
I promise you, I didn't. It's not there.
Well played.
Sometimes they just appear to me.
Sometimes pussy just pops in your head.
Sometime it do.
Yeah,
sometime it be popping.
That pussy be popping.
Oh my God. So anyway, Goldfinger.
So the henchmen are now getting attacked by the
army that we thought was dead. They have now risen.
They have risen.
So Goldfinger, actually he. Doesn't he disrobe?
And he does.
He already has the army uniform on. Right?
And a golden gun.
And a golden gun. Like, nobody would know it was him.
Shoots one of his own dudes.
Shoots his own guy. He closes the vault himself, which has Oddjob in there. And he's acting like he's helping the army go in, and then he shoots them as well. So he's trying to protect himself. So then James Bond and Oddjob start getting into a scuffle because 007 has gotten the keys and he's gotten away from the bomb.
Yep. And now he fights. Now we get the henchman fight.
Which fights back then were very different than today.
So big, just winding haymakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like hits that you see coming from a mile away.
Yeah. Like everybody like braces themselves.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and just these long. Yeah, it was. I still enjoyed it, though, because I think it's like, OK, I know that was of the day.
Right.
You know, so I can still enjoy it.
Very, very rare. Of a person to go back, watch an older movie currently and be able to disassociate that.
Right.
I feel that's a rare trait amongst people who go back and watch older movies,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, it's a good trait to have.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you can still appreciate
well,
the good stuff.
Well, it helps. Yeah. It helps. It allows you to enjoy it, you know.
Right.
You just have to know where you're at. So they get into a scuffle. And let's see, eventually, you know, he's throwing the hat, his killer hat.
Yeah.
He gets it stuck in these bars after he had cut a big electrical wire and it's buzzing, more buzzing. And so he goes to grab his hat from the bars to kill James Bond. And Bond puts the wire, the exposed wire on the bars, and he electrocutes Oddjob, and Oddjob dies.
Oddjob dies.
We and, see the end of him.
And here's a fun bit of James Bond trivia for you. So when the actor grabbed on to the hat and you know, he actually got a little bit of a shock.
Oh, no.
Because he was, like, holding on to it, and he was just waiting for the director to call cut,
mm-hmm.
but he never did, so he's just like, ah.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, I mean, he's fine.
He was okay in real life.
He's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Oddball is okay.
Oddball's okay.
Yeah.
Did I say it again?
No.
Okay, good. So then now the job is to, the vault's now open, and now we've got to dismantle the bomb. We've got to stop it. And so he finally, James Bond finally gets this, you know, cart open because the bomb's in like this cart, and he's looking at all these wires. And again, I'm super nervous. I'm like, oh my God, which one is it? Is it, you know, and he's looking, and it's so dramatic, and he's like touching the wires and trying to figure out. And he finally is just like, you know what? I got to go for it. There's like 7 seconds left, and he goes, and all of a sudden here comes a hand, and it just flips the switch.
Yeah.
And I think it was Felix, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Felix just swoops in.
We're good here. Click.
Like an angel and just... and I was like, oh shit, why did nobody think of a swoop?
Also, in most movies with a bomb counting down, it usually ends dramatically at
right.
2 seconds. Not here.
No.
We end up at 007,
exactly.
Motherfucker.
Exactly. I
yeah.
got it.
Like the first time I ever saw that, when I just watched it this week, like when it lands on 007, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, goddamn right, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, that was super good. Super good touch. So the day is saved, but we don't know where Goldfinger's at. There's going to be no bomb. The gold's safe, but Goldfinger is gone. So then it looks like the president wants to have lunch right with James
yep,
Bond.
He wants to meet James.
Yeah, president wants to meet him, even though Felix is the one who flipped the switch and really
yeah,
saved the
right.
day. So he gets on the plane, and guess what? There's Goldfinger with his golden gun.
Oh, shit.
But as James Bond had to previously remind old PG, it's not smart to fire a gun in a plane because it throws off the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So a scuffle again yet happens. Goldfinger shoots his gun through the window. How the hell did his body fit through the window? That's a lot of pressure with no blood and no body splitting apart, which you couldn't show back then.
Right. That is how Goldfinger meets his demise,
yeah.
getting jettisoned from an airplane window.
Yeah, because it throws everything off. They're, you know, it's going down. He gets pulled through the window, and... James Bond goes into the hatch, and there's old PG.
Old PG.
And the plane goes down, but they have gotten out.
Pussy got parachutes.
That pussy got parachutes.
Uh-huh.
Shit. So they parachute out, and... then there's the rescue team trying to find them, and Pussy goes going to try to get them to, hey, we're over here. And Bond swoops in and goes, today's not a day to be rescued. And then they just start making it underneath the fucking parachute, and that's the end.
The end. We close on some good pussy.
Yeah.
I am incredibly delighted that your first Bond experience was this good.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where we go next with the Bond. I'm sure, are you going to watch some on your own?
Yeah, I was wondering if I should watch them all or like, Yeah, I guess I should watch all of each Bond. I should just watch them in order and not skip around. Like, I wanted to kind of see, like, the best movie of Sean Connery, the best movie of, you know, Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig. And
Roger
there was
Moore.
Another Roger Moore.
Yeah, there's one with a dude named George Lazenby.
Okay.
He wasn't a Bond.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I should do that first. Or just watch them. I would like your recommendation.
So with the Sean Connery Bonds, we get introduced more to, again, the organization of Spectre.
Like the world of James Bond.
Yeah.
And
so some of the, like I said, you know, Q, the actor that plays Q, he sticks with it. The character of M changes from time to time. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see M in this movie, did I?
I want to say, like, when they're back at headquarters and they're telling Bond about Goldfinger.
Okay.
I mean, that was
okay.
M. That character changes. For the most part, you can kind of hop into any Bond at any time.
How many are there? Do you know?
23.
Oh, good Lord.
I think.
Oh. All right, well, I'll get started.
Yeah.
This and Marvel, my God.
Right?
I'm tapped. My schedule's full.
The next Daniel Craig James Bond movie is scheduled to come out here sometime. It's been fucked up because of pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the latest rumor that Netflix was going to pick it up.
It's like $600 million.
$600 million.
I was like, holy shit.
That's some Goldfinger money.
Which I didn't get. At first at all, but I guess now that I've watched it and we've talked about it so much, now it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that amount of money, as a fan of Bond, does that amount of movie make sense?
How about this? What if...
Uh-oh. You got a glimmer in your eye.
What if this whole pandemic was engineered by an evil Spectre super genius to get $600 million for the next James Bond movie?
Oh, fucking shit.
Yeah. Sign it up.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I believe that.
Right?
I believe that more than anything else.
I think we
I
just
don't
figured
think
it out.
Came from a market. I don't think it. No,
we
that's what happened.
We cracked the fucking code.
Pussy Galore's circus flew over us and pushed down a virus.
Yep, they sprayed us with COVID.
Holy
So that
damn.
They can make 600 milli on James Bond's No Time to Die.
Why is that plausible? Because it's 2020.
Because it's 2020.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did they also put in the Tiger King distraction? Was that all a part of it?
Maybe Joe Exotic is the henchman. He's the oddball. He's the odd job.
He's odd job.
I think
oh, God, dang it.
I think he'd be hand job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit.
Shit. I've noticed over the course of our friendship when I get that level of shit. that's a joke that you hate that you laughed at. Shit.
I just hate that I got so good, yeah. You know? Like, dang it, that's one I can't top.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, shit.
You will be in for some pretty decent Bond movies. You'll be in for some shitty ones.
Okay.
There are a couple
that's
clunkers
okay.
out there. I love Daniel Craig as James Bond, but he hasn't been in a lot of good Bond movies.
Okay.
Casino Royale, I thought, was great.
Was that him?
That was Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Also has your boy Mads Mikkelsen, old Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He's the villain in that one and fucking crushes it, as Mads Mikkelsen always does.
You know, I had never heard of him before until you got me into Hannibal, and then now I see him everywhere.
Oh, he's in a lot.
He's in a lot. He's in talks to play Grindelwald now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Like, that whole situation is bullshit because Johnny Depp was wronged in that
Look,
one.
I-
However... Any chance that Mads Mikkelsen could get more work? I'm sorry, but you step aside for Mads.
Yes, that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. I don't want Johnny to go. We're going to deviate, but I it's really unfair. But if I'm like, I'm okay if he takes the role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate he's taking it in this way, but I'm fine with him having the role.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude's awesome. It's
amazing.
And he is great in Casino Royale.
Okay.
And then after that, there's a couple clunkers. We get Quantum of Solace, which is not great.
Okay.
The overall villain scheme of that one is dude is trying to monopolize a water supply. Yeah, more or less.
Really?
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you figure it out on your journey.
Interesting.
And then eventually there's Skyfall. Skyfall was actually pretty good. But then we finally, after years and years and years of not having Spectre in the James Bond movies, they did a James Bond movie called Spectre. And you're like, oh shit, here we fucking go. They got Christoph Waltz as the villain in this one, who you're thinking, that's going to be Blofeld. Because Blofeld is a huge villain in the Bond universe. You're going to grow to love Blofeld.
Okay.
And you're like, he's got to be Blofeld. And then they're like, he's not. He's not really Blofeld. He's a different character altogether. And then the movie just it kind of goes in some weird spots, and you're just like, okay, well, whatever.
Interesting.
Not horrible by any means, but you know, just they could be better.
Right.
And I guess we'll figure out what happens with the next James Bond movie, No Time to Die, whenever that comes out. The rumor on this one is that Rami Malek, the guy that played Freddie Mercury, so he's the villain in
this
one.
He's the bad guy.
It's rumored that he is Dr. No from the very first James Bond movie.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if that's legitimate or not, but that's just the rumor, the rumblings on the street.
So what are the timelines? Are they set in like the same years, like span of time, like in the same decade, or like do we...
It's kind of, we just accept that it's all over the place. It's a floating time scale.
Okay.
It takes place when it takes place.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
And they're not necessarily even all connected. Like the Daniel Craig James Bond kind of is almost a prequel to like it introduces James Bond as he becomes a 00.
Okay.
So it kind of goes from there.
Right. Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. I accept that.
You're in.
I'm just curious how it all plays out. If he's Dr. No, then does the timeline go back to that time? Yeah. I was just curious.
Okay. It's,
I can accept them as they come. I'm fine with that. I just want to know.
Yep.
You know?
And what I think you'll find very interesting is that because the movies don't, they came out almost yearly for a while, because I think it was a year or two later after Goldfinger Thunderball came out. That's the next one. Mm-hmm. And then they came out for a while, and then Sean Connery dipped, and then Roger Moore takes over, and then a couple of them didn't do so well. So it's like you get Bond in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. A lot of them are incredibly dated. Like with Timothy Dalton in The Living Daylights, an incredibly 80s movie.
Okay.
Like you get the 80s action. You know, you get the 90s action with Golden Eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a very Jason Bourne style action approach with Casino Royale and Forward.
Okay.
So yeah, it's very, very timely are the James Bond movies.
Okay. I like that though. I think I'll like that. Seeing that as they evolve or as they go from decade to decade.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But again, as we started this podcast, we kind of did this, A, not only to introduce Leanne to the world of James Bond, but to also pay our respects to the late, great Sir Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. A tragic fucking loss. Dude was 90. He had an awesome run.
Yep.
What do you think? Because in, 2005, I think, is when he retired.
Okay.
And his last movie was a piece of shit called The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I've heard of it, never seen it.
It is, it's based on a comic book.
Okay.
And the premise is that there's all, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Tom Sawyer and Alan Quartermain, his character, all these literary characters come together to fight literary villains. Like, basically everything that's public domain.
Oh.
So the premise, great.
Yeah.
The execution, horrible.
Oh, no.
in fact, kind of notoriously, Sean Connery got into arguments daily with the director.
Okay.
Didn't like how the movie was being shot, didn't like the flow of things, And I think, well, from what I've read on the internet, what people have said, that definitely added a lot to the quality of the film. Also to Sean Connery's decision to be like, I'm out. Peace out. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. I'm dipping. Like, I'm done with this shit. Mm-hmm. So he retired after League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He was offered the role of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, the wizard, and turned it down even after they offered him his acting fee plus 15% of the box office receipts, which would have netted him $400 million.
Jesus Christ.
And still was like, nah.
Kept his goddamn integrity.
To be fair, it would have been a much better swan song than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Know.
But you're right. Like, was like, for him? Nah.
No, done.
Fuck you. Yeah, I was voted People's Sexiest Man of the Century. You go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just going to peace out with my fucking artist wife.
I mean, what a business decision, but damn.
They tried to get him out occasionally for other things. Like they wanted him to have a quick cameo in the Indiana Jones movie that they never made. Mm-hmm. This alleged fourth one that people talk about.
The myth.
They wanted him to show up in one of the Bond movies, like as in a cameo.
Like as Bond, like a retired Bond, or
they just wanted him.
They just wanted him in there.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think it was Sean Connery's decision that having two actors that have played Bond, especially him, on screen would be a bit too jarring.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, nah.
Okay.
I'm good. Stuck to his guns.
Yeah.
Like, I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Again, they do not make them like Sean Connery anymore.
They don't.
You touched on earlier, we talked about The Rock a little bit last week. A great, great piece of action from the 90s by Michael Bay. Have you seen a lot of Michael Bay movies?
He did Transformers, didn't he?
He did Transformers. He did Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Never seen those.
Pain and Gain with the Mark Wahlberg and The Rock.
Nope.
Oh, you're going to love that one.
Okay.
We'll watch that one sometime.
But I have seen The Rock.
You have seen The Rock.
You were surprised.
I was surprised. That is, in my opinion, peak Michael Bay. Like, that was one of his early movies, too.
And I had no idea that was Michael Bay.
Incredible movie. But after... In the couple days after Sean Connery passed away, Michael Bay put out an amazing post on Instagram, just kind of sharing his memories, and was like, this is a loss, you know? Like, so Michael Bay started out as he directed Victoria's Secret commercials. He directed the Got Milk commercials when those first came out. And so, like I said, The Rock was one of, if not his first big movie, and you're directing Sean fucking Connery.
Mm-hmm.
And he said... in one take, he yelled cut, Michael Bay did, and he's like, Sean, can you do that again, but less charming? Because the dude is just so naturally fucking charismatic.
Right.
And he's like, oh, anything you want, boy. And he's like, every day he's like, yes, boy, right away, my boy.
Wow.
And I'm like, how great of a memory is that?
That's the best thing ever.
People shit on Michael Bay all the fucking time, but he has that memory and you don't.
Right.
So you can fuck. You can.
He's one.
Yeah. You can eat all the pussy galore you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. I love that.
And so many of those memories and so many of those stories came out, and I think that because Sean Connery was not in the public eye so much over the last, 15, 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way this society is, if it's not right in front of your face right now, you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
But then just to hear all those memories come back, you're like, man, we lost a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Which, again, is why I'm stating right now, we are recording this November 14th, 2020, Jack Nicholson, one of my favorite actors ever, can't call me a poser when he eventually passes away, and I'm just like devastated because Jack is gone. Just want that out there.
Okay. Let's document that.
Thank you.
Write that down.
Any closing thoughts on not just James Bond, but Sean Connery in general?
I just want to say that I'm super excited to be a part now of this big, huge culture.
Right.
Like, look at what I was missing out on. Like, look at how big of a piece of history I've missed out on. And now I'm in it.
And now
it's
you
exciting.
Can.
Exciting.
And now, not because you are a huge Archer fan.
Yeah.
Now the level of appreciation you have for that, I have to imagine, is just going through the roof.
Yeah, I literally throughout the whole movie, I'm like, okay, that's where that came. Like, you knew it came from. I knew it came from Bond, or I figured as such, you know. But I just then to see it, like, it was so cool, you know.
You will also probably be pleased to know that one of my friends who constantly texts me and, you know, this bitch texts, is probably the biggest James Bond fan I know.
Okay.
In fact, he's kind of like, I go to him. I like James Bond. He loves James Bond.
Okay.
Like, he is my James Bond consultant.
All right.
So I went to him before I'm like, hey, man, like, I'm thinking of going towards like Goldfinger, but what would you recommend? Mm-hmm. You know, sends me a couple texts and he's just like, I was like, yeah, Leanne's never seen a Bond movie. I'm like, nah, fucking figures. But now that you love it.
But now I love it.
I'm sure you've scored a couple points with him.
Yeah. Hopefully this makes up for that last episode that never existed.
Right? Yes. So I'm sure, you know, Monday after this podcast drop, I'm going to get the text. He's like, well, this bitch, she's all right.
I love that I am this bitch. Like, you don't know how funny that is to me.
This bitch.
This bitch. Like, it cracks me up.
So now the big one is we just have to get Rachel back on board with you.
Okay.
Because you cut her pretty deep last week.
I know. I hated. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to hurt anyone. But it happened.
It happened.
I will make a life of atonement.
We've moved on from it. And now we need to decide what we're watching next week.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
I have no idea. Where are we next? What is the date today?
Let's see. So
you said
the 14th. Yeah, we're recording this on the 14th, so we will be dropping this on the 16th.
The 23rd.
So we're creeping up on Thanksgiving time. I have already kind of figured what I want our Christmas movie to be.
Okay.
Like, eventually we'll review a Christmas flick.
Right.
So I got that one on the back burner for
you. There's a lot of classics I haven't seen.
And the one I have in store is, and it's not one of the, you know, like, oh, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. You've seen Die Hard, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like that.
Okay.
It is a movie that takes place during Christmas. It takes place around the holidays. It is an unconventional holiday classic.
I'm all for that.
I'm going to keep that one chambered. We got to talk about next week. We got to talk about,
that's the week of Thanksgiving.
That is the week of Thanksgiving.
I don't know if that influences at all. I don't know that there's any Thanksgiving movies.
I think Thanksgiving gets wedged between Halloween and Christmas and no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel thankful this year.
No.
Fuck off.
I mean, I'm thankful for this podcast.
I'm thankful for pecan pie.
Yeah.
And cranberry sauce.
Pumpkin pie over here.
Okay.
Load that shit up.
Mm-hmm. Put some cool whip on it.
Cool whip.
Whip.
Yeah.
But fuck your thankfulness.
Yeah, like Thanksgiving movies are just kind of eh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also that prick of a kid that was, you know, like during the holidays and stuff, and everyone wanted to gather around, watch holiday movies.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch like fucking RoboCop.
Right.
Why don't we watch RoboCop? Yes. Yes.
Isn't that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh my God.
No,
we are,
I learned that.
Fuck. So next week...
I'm so glad you brought this up because we really need to fix this.
So next week, I think we watch RoboCop. The week after that, we watch Kindergarten Cop.
Yes! I'm in. I'm perfect. Write it down in our schedules. It's in the calendar.
Whew!
Oh, man!
All right.
Good choice.
So RoboCop, not played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. You are in for one of, if not the best 80s sci-fi pieces of satire ever.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What are you expecting with RoboCop?
I have no idea what RoboCop is.
He's a cop. It's a robot.
I thought it was just a big, dumb action movie.
Okay.
But that's all I know. I truly don't know anything about it.
A lot of satire, a lot of subtext. Okay. Which you've mentioned before, you didn't know when I introduced you to, I think it was One Crazy Summer, you didn't know how you were going to take to the comedy because it was from a time when you were not born yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be curious to see how you associate with the satire in RoboCop.
Okay.
Fuck yeah. That's another good.
I don't know what that is.
That's going to be one of our...
Is that part of our Pussy Galore Flying Circus
yep,
shit?
Yep, Pussy Galore Flying Circus.
Get ready.
Oh.
We're fucking ready.
Ready your souls, your minds, your bodies. I don't even think you're ready. for Pussy Galore's Flying Circus.
The bluegrass band.
Da, 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 da. How do you play that in a banjo?
Wow,
boy.
Ooh, I'm ready for a hoot nanny.
Fucking hell.
Down.
I am already ready for
RoboCop
next week.
I am already in some fucking overalls, bitches.
Yeah.
I'm already in overalls and plaid and a straw hat and on a porch picking.
Just a picking. Just a picking.
Yeah.
Well, we're fixing to wrap up this podcast.
Okay.
As they say, down here in the South, where we are broadcasting from Huntsville Home Video.
Yeah.
So next week, RoboCop. Fuck yeah.
I'm excited to put this in the past. This whole controversy of me not knowing RoboCop in the past.
You're gonna watch RoboCop and then watch Kindergarten Cop and go, oh. Okay, yeah, I can see why people thought I was a dumb fucker for that,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. This bitch texts were justified. I know
they're justified. I know I'm an idiot. Look, if there's anybody aware of it, it's me.
I mean, like, when I tell you you're an idiot, it's kind of fun and charming and cute. When you say it, I just feel bad for you.
Oh, well, you should.
Well, I mean, now I don't.
Now you don't.
Now I'm flat out over
now
it.
Now I ruined it.
Now you fucked it up. So next week,
what a
we
fucking idiot.
Are going to watch RoboCop. But thank you so much for checking us out this week on our review of Goldfinger. Had to get one last one in there for you.
It's still a favorite. It's still my thing.
So hit us up on social media, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us at HSV Home Video. You can email us at Gmail, HSVHomeVideo@gmail.com. Hit us up at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Mm-hmm. We've got a plethora of movies that you can go back and listen to our reviews of.
Yep.
Things like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, They Live, a little movie that I love called Big Trouble in Little China.
No, that one didn't exist, remember? We skip over that one.
Okay.
Oh, I don't like that. Okay. So, I don't like that, a brief.
So until next week.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind. Rewind.
I don't know how to do blah, 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 in musical form.
Ba-da, 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 ba-da